With me today from Manila on his way to the Melbourne International Film Festival is Andrew Leavold, and he, for 7 years of his life, looked for Wang Wang. Good day, Andrew.
How are you? Greetings from Makati.
7 years of your life was actually spent in search for Wang Wang.
And in fact, probably the 14 years before that was spent thinking about looking for Wang Wang. So when you actually examine the time frame, it is actually more than 20 years in its conception. But the physical shooting went on for 7 years from my first Cinemanila appearance in 2006, almost to the day 7 years later, we had the world premiere of Search for Wang Wang at the UP Film Center in Quezon City. And you could imagine just what a relief it was to Daniel and I. Daniel Police, my collaborator, who'd been on the film with me for about 6 years. It really was a sense of vindication more than anything, I think, that we'd actually proved all of the people who thought that we were crazy looking for Wang Wang. We'd actually proved them wrong. It was a very sane trip and worthwhile story to tell.
I've been reading through, and you are actually a Filipino film buff.
First and foremost, I love Philippine cinema, and not just the B-films, although the B-films seem to be taking up a very big part of my life. We're talking all cinema from the old black and white classics through to the golden age of Philippine cinema in the 70s and 80s. Filmmakers like Ismael Bernal, Lino Broca, Celso Ad Castillo, Peque Gallaga. These guys are my heroes. And even up to recent films like Eric Matthews' On the Job and Yan Lorana's is The Road. Philippine cinema has really come in leaps and bounds over the last few years. I'm so proud to be able to say to a global audience that the Philippines is really the happening place in Southeast Asia right now.
Having said all that, from all the films that you mentioned, from all the filmmakers that you mentioned, why Wang Wang?
There is something about Wang Wang. When you see him for the first time, he appears to be quite a ludicrous image, you know, of a 2'9" karate-kicking James Bond. But after you watch him for a while, you can't help but notice that there's, this kind of childlike innocence about him, which you instantly form a bond with. It's quite incredible, and it happens with audiences the world over. They start to laugh at the figure of Wang Wang, and then after a while, they're actually feeling something, I guess, akin to a love for Wang Wang. And I can't explain it. I guess I've been thinking about why I would dedicate my life to looking for Wang Wang for 20 years. And the answer is, you know, there's something about Wang Wang which fueled the desire to solve the mystery. This little guy who didn't seem to have any information connected with him. And I guess all adventures start with one of those, what-if moments. That what-if moment is, what if I could find Wang Wang, or at least find the truth about Wang Wang?
Well,
and it all began from that moment.
Unfortunately, you never met him.
No. He passed away in the early 90s, so probably around about the time I was first watching For Your Only on video in Australia. And I guess, you know, all of these adventures start with a what-if moment. And that what-if moment was, what if I could actually find out the secret behind the mystery of who is Wang Wang? You know, what was his legacy? How many films did he make? Was he still alive? At that time, no one even knew if Wang Wang was alive or not. And there was something about Wang Wang, something about that childlike innocence about him, which sort of instantly bonded me to him. And so that was the catalyst for going looking for a solution to the mystery. And it took a long time and a lot of borrowing money from friends and relatives to actually solve that mystery. But when you see the finished film, I think you'll agree that the story really is a fascinating one, and one that needed to be told, especially here in the Philippines, where there's a system where the little guys tend to get, you know, betrayed by the people closest to him and exploited. And the story of his rich producers kind of taking advantage of this poor little guy who probably had the mental capacity of an 8 or 9 year old. It's a real tragedy. and a very sad story. But there are some really nice moments to the story as well.
And so, you've met...
I think you'll find it a bittersweet experience when you watch the movie.
And you've met some very interesting people along the way.
Absolutely. I mean, I hate to give away the surprise guest, but I will tell you that it was a former first lady who is still quite a celebrity in her adopted province of the Ilocos Norte. So if you could imagine going to this former first lady's 83rd birthday party just to sit her down and ask her, what do you remember about Wang Wang? You're going to find that in itself is probably one of the strangest moments that you would will experience in it. But then you also have people like Dolphy, King of Comedy, talking about his experience with Wang Wang. There are such venerable actors like Eddie Garcia and Rez Cortez, Maria Isabel Lopez, director Celso Castillo, all contributing their memories of Wang Wang. But then you get the real story from his only surviving relative, and that's where the heartbreaking part of the story really begins.
And I suppose Wang Wang has become an important part of your life.
I never gave up. At one point, we lost the rights for about 3 years to Brisbane producer, who ended up making a different film, a broader history of the Americans making films in the Philippines, called Machete Maidens Unleashed. So 3 years after being in the wilderness, we ended up getting the rights, and we made a very indie and very guerrilla production, which I think if we had have tried to complete 4 or 5 years ago in a completely different film, it wouldn't have had the detail in the film. We wouldn't have people like the former first lady taking to the birthday party, for instance. In a way, I think that idea of never giving up on finding Wang Wang's story and then seeing the project right through to its logical conclusion has made a much more interesting, in my opinion, than simply just going there, filming a bunch of talking heads and then releasing the film and expecting people to dig the film. It becomes as much about the search and that personal journey as it is about its 2'9" central character.
And you've recently screened The Search for Wang Wang in the Philippines. What has the reaction been like?
Well, I toured the film around Europe for 3 months, and international audiences are saying to me that they've never heard a story like this come out of the Philippines. They're absolutely fascinated by it. It's never been privy to before. And of course, they find the story of Wang Wang himself absolutely compelling.
And Wang Wang will bring you back to the Philippines.
Wang Wang continues to bring me back. We have at least another 5 or 6 projects that want to get up and running in the Philippines. If there are any potential producers listening to this, I would love to talk to you about it.
And you would actually be...
the next film there. I also had an offer to teach at one of the universities, so I may be... in fact, I probably will be there August next year, teaching Filipino film history at university level.
Andrew Leibold, thank you for sharing us your story.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure, and hope to see you guys front row center at the Melbourne International Film Festival.
7 billion stories and counting.
SBS Radio.